And so we are continuing our series on praying effectively. And Lord willing, we're going to wrap up this series next Wednesday night. But tonight, I just want to start off with this. Prayer is fun. That's not the attitude of most people. But here's when it gets fun. When our prayers are making a difference. That's fun. Amen. Now, when you're not sure that your prayers are really making any difference, it's easy to get discouraged, disillusioned, and we end up praying less and less. So just be honest. You don't have to pretend. But how many of you would say, I have had some answered prayers in the last few weeks? All right, now, if you didn't raise your hand, you saw some others that did. And by the way, I wasn't looking for anybody. You didn't raise your hand? It ain't like that. Here's the thing. We've all been there. We've all had some seasons in our life, some times in our life, when most of us don't have to go back very far. We say, yeah, there's some time. I didn't have some answered prayers. But I want you to be encouraged because, you see, God does answer prayer. And you need to see that. You need to know. You know, you need to get your faith up, because if we're going to really see God answer our prayers, we got to believe. That's right. I want to share with you tonight how you can pray with confidence. See, if you pray with confidence, you know that your prayers are effective. And that's what this is about. Anyone that wants to pray effective prayers should learn from Jesus. And Jesus says, pray like this, Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says we're to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. We're going to talk about that some tonight, but I just want you to understand his will, that's what he wants. His will, that's the same thing as, it's just another way to say it. It's what he wants. And our prayers are effective when we are praying for what he wants. I mean, it's great when what he wants and what I want are the same thing. That's great. And that happens a lot. For most of us, I mean, if you're serving God, you know, most of the time, your will is going to be in line with his will. But we got to deal with this issue that sometimes it's not. All of us have times when what we want is not necessarily the exact same thing as what God wants. There are going to be times when it's just hard to accept the will of God. Now here's the issue. We got to trust our Father that he knows what's best. And as always, Jesus is the perfect example. You remember what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22:42. He said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. See, he knew all that he was about to go through. And he's saying, if it's your will, take this away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And you see, we got to get that same heart where we understand that God's will is best. And I'm just gonna kind of throw this in here real quick. This was the battle that he fought in the Garden of Gethsemane, to lay down his will and to pray instead for his will to be done. And the end result of this is that he has a name above every name, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for all eternity. You see, you just need to understand that sometimes it might be hard. Sometimes it may not be what you wanted. But the will of God is always the best. Amen. We just have to trust our Father. And you go through some hard places. Oh, but this is how we pray. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But I'm telling you that one of the reasons, one of the main reasons that people have unanswered prayers is they're praying for what they want instead of what God wants. You want to pray effectively, you pray for what God wants. Deal with this again. Well, why didn't he just do what he wants? Because this is the way he's chosen to work. I know most of us were like, well, if I was God, I'd just do what I want. I don't care. That's not the way he works. He works this way. When people pray in faith, he moves and he steps in. That's why it's so important. You see, in that sense, he partners with us. He wants us to pray and to bring his kingdom and his will into this earth. But one of the main reasons we have so many unanswered prayers is because people just pray what they want, not what God wants. Then there's those times when we're asking for the right things. There's nothing wrong with what we're asking for, but we're asking with the wrong motives. I mean, you ever had that where you're praying, you're asking for something that you know it's God's will, and yet nothing's happening? Here's one of the things that we need to consider. Are we asking for the right reasons? What's the motivation behind our prayer? James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. You know, he mentions spending it on your pleasures. So it's just a good example. It could be about a lot of different things. But if you're praying for an increase financially, but it's just so that you can selfishly have what you want, you're not asking for the right reasons. And one of the major causes of unanswered prayers, it causes people to get disillusioned with prayer as they pray selfish prayers instead of truly submitting their heart to the Lord and their prayer life to the will of God and what he wants. Most people think prayer is just telling God what he needs to do. I mean, it's good to have a prayer list so you don't forget to pray for people and pray for things, but just remember your prayer list is your prayer list. It's not God's to-do list. It doesn't work that way. But a lot of people kind of get that mindset about, well, that's what we do. We tell the Lord, Lord, you need to do this. Lord, you need to do that. And then other people have the mindset, it's like we're begging God to do what I want. Please, please, God. Oh, Lord, please, please just do what I want, Lord. This is what I'm asking, Lord. It's what I want. Please do what I want. So here's a book title that would probably be a bestseller if anybody would write it. Prayer, How to Get God to Do What You Want. I want you to know, millions and millions of people, they buy that book. People that don't go to church, don't even hardly know the Lord, they see that. They're walking through the airport. There it is in that bookstore. Prayer, How to Get God to Do What You Want. I believe I'll take a copy of that. That sounds really good. Here's the problem with that. I can tell you that it isn't going to be based on Scripture. It's not going to come from the Word of God. It's going to be a bunch of twisted Scripture and a bunch of the ideas of carnal man. And that's the kind of thing that happens a lot in Christian culture today. There is a way that you could write that book and it would be correct. I want to tell you, prayer, How to Get God to Do What You Want. I'll tell you how. Want what he wants. Y'all excited about that principle? You want to pray more effectively? You got to learn to pray the right way. And the right way is to pray for what he wants. It's not just about us. Lord, I know you don't want to do this, but this is what I want, okay? Forget it. Ineffective. Not going to work. And I shared this 2 weeks ago. If it does work, you won't like it. But if we're going to pray with confidence, it's really important that we submit our heart and our will to his will. You know, if we pray for the will of God, but we're not willing to do the will of God in our own life, let me say this the nice way. That's insincere. That's the nice way to say it, y'all. If we're praying, Lord, we want your will to be done. I mean, I ain't going to do it. I'm not doing your will in my life, but I'm praying that, you know, you'll do your will in this situation. No, we got to submit our will to his will. I mean, if we're going to pray with confidence, you got to have your heart right with the Lord. You can't feel like there's something between you and God. You can't feel like there's something hindering your prayers. You can't pray confidently that way. If there's something that's wrong, you got to make it right so that your prayers can be effective, so you can pray confidently. Did you know treating your spouse right is a big deal to God? Did you know that not treating your spouse right can hinder your prayer? And what's this series about? Praying effectively. Here's a way that will hinder your prayer and keep you from praying effectively. Don't treat your spouse right. How do I know that? 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. That's like the expensive vase. That's what that means. And as being, we're the clay pot, guys. Okay. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You see, if you don't treat your spouse right, your prayer's going to be hindered. Relationships are really important to God. Here's another one, just throw in there with that. Some people, you know, you pray and you won't forgive somebody. You got an issue between you and God until you forgive that person. He's not listening to you. You know what God wants you to do and you're not doing it. Or you know there's something in your life God doesn't approve of. I want to tell you, when you go to the Lord in prayer, he's going to want to deal with you about that. Okay, I'm just going to pretend like y'all are here and you hear what I'm saying. Because I know what I'm saying is right, and I know a bunch of you need to hear it. You want to get rid of the unanswered praying going on? Here's an issue right here. We go to God, we're talking about this, we're talking about that. And he's like, what about this? Okay, we're going to go to 1 John chapter 3, 19 through 22. And tonight I want to encourage you to jot the verses down and go over them again, because anybody can pray, but we have to be learning and growing so that we can really pray with confidence. As I said before I started tonight, it's not something that we can just have down in a day. It's something we learn and we grow in day by day. We learn to live out the principles of Scripture because they work. But we got to live this out. 1 John chapter 3, 19 through 22. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Wow, there it is. You know, he's talking about if our hearts condemn us. Let me tell you how you know if your heart's condemning you. There's something that you know is not right and you need to make it right. That conviction, that's from the Holy Spirit, that you need to get it right. And God knows. And that in your heart is keeping you from being able to pray with confidence. But how amazing is this? He says, whatever we ask, we receive from him. That's effective praying, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. It matters how you live. Amen. Now, I know we talked about we go in the name of Jesus. It's in his righteousness alone. Yes. But you can't be insincere. You can't have stuff in your life. You know you're not right with God. You need to get right with God if you want your prayers to be effective. That's where your confidence comes from. Well, this is fun, isn't it? Let me tell you what is fun. When God answers your prayer. That's fun. That's what this is about, praying effectively, being able to pray with confidence. See, praying for his will in our life, not living according to the scripture, that's not going to work. Here's the thing. What do? Well, get right. It isn't hard. He's made it so easy. That's how good he is. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, you got to admit it to him. You got to say, Lord, I know this isn't right. You got to confess it to him. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, he'll wash you, he'll get it out of your life, but you got to be willing to admit it to God and say, Lord, I know this isn't right. I confess it to you and let him deal with it. And, you know, here's the thing about this. It's really weird how people try to bring old worldly dead religion into the things of God, but you don't have to do penance. There's not a period of time where you're going to have to be in the doghouse. When you really get, when you get your heart right with God, he's ready. The Bible says this, one of my favorites, Psalm 86:5. You, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive. He's ready. So you just got to get right with him. You need to get those things out so that you can pray with confidence. Then we come in the name of Jesus and his righteousness. And we come without any guilt, without that hindrance to our prayers. Ephesians 3:11-12, Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Pray confidently, yes, because we come in the blood of Jesus. Those old past sins, they don't keep us back. That's confidence. When we know that we're praying according to the will of God, our prayers take on a whole different dimension. There's something powerful that happens when we know that we are praying according to his will. Our prayers become more effective. It's 1 John 5:14-15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. You want some confidence? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Whatever we ask according to his will, he hears us. Now, he goes on and he says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Now, he says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It's not talking about hear in the sense that, you know, God knows you said it. He hears everything. Everything. He knows what's going to come out of our mouth before it even comes out. He hears everything. Every word of complaining, everything. He hears it. But what it's talking about here is that when we pray according to the will of God, it's being heard in the sense it's being received. Listen, when God receives your prayer, when he accepts your prayer, it's a done deal. That's why he goes on and he says, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. That is effective praying. How's that happen? Because you're praying according to the will of God. Amen. Let me explain how this works. You may go to God all upset and troubled and anxious, but when you know that you've prayed according to the will of God, you know that you have the petitions that you've asked of him. That's what it's talking about in Philippians 4:7 when it talks about the peace of God. See, when you know that you've been heard, when you have the petitions you've asked of him, oh, now you've got peace. You know that God is taking care of it. You know that it's done. That peace that passes understanding comes. That's effective praying. But to pray with confidence, we've got to pray according to the will of God. Prayer should always be about bringing his will to pass in our lives. His will is always best. So how can we know his will? Jesus said, pray this way. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is a picture of the perfect will of God. You want a little more heaven here on earth? Pray for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, in heaven, there's no sickness in heaven. There's no heartache in heaven. There's no lack. There's no poverty. There's no sorrow. There's no sin. There's the perfect will of God. We live in a world that has been corrupted by the sin of man, and it is under the sway of the evil one, under the influence of Satan. Some of you aren't familiar with this, so I want to give you this verse, 1 John 5:19. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So much of what you see throughout the world, it is the influence of Satan upon the hearts of wicked men, evil men, people that are not doing the will of God, but doing their own will. Because in the perfect will of God, I want to tell you, it's good. And heaven is a picture of that. What a wonderful place. It's a place of righteousness. There's no sin there, no conflict, no strife. There's peace, there's joy. See, why don't we have that here? We got to pray it down. We got to believe God. Jesus said, this is how you do it. Your kingdom come, your reign and your rule come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, when you consider heaven, it tells you a lot about the perfect will of God. And yes, we don't see the perfect will of God in every way here on earth. That's real obvious. But we pray and we pray and we pray for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Next, one of the most powerful ways that we can know his will is to know his word. If you don't know what his will is, I want to tell you, most often you can find it in his word. There is a verse, there's a principle somewhere that will speak to every situation and circumstance. How can you know the will of God? In the word of God. And I'm forever, in this time that we're living in, I'm forever saying this, but we can't just be lazy Christians. We need to be learning and growing students of the Word. I mean, if you can't read, my goodness, you can listen to it on audio all day long. If you've got a phone, you can listen to the Word of God all day. But however you get it, you need to get the Word of God inside of you so you know what the will of God. So much of it, he's written it down for us in his Word. And when we pray according to the will of God, what did he say? We know he hears us and we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. That's effective praying. So be a student of the Word and you can learn to pray with confidence. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It mentions the will of God here, and I'm not going to take a lot of time to teach on this passage. There's a lot here, but I just want to touch on some things. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, how can you possibly know the perfect will of God? Well, first of all, you got to make a total commitment to God. You got to offer him yourself as a living sacrifice. Because, see, a lot of people take this approach to the will of God. Well, tell me what it is and I'll decide if I like it. And it won't ever work that way. You'll never know the will of God that way. It works like this. Here's my life, whatever you want. That's how it starts, to know the will of God. And then he talks about renewing the mind. You see, we can't think like the world thinks and know the will of God. And the only real way to renew your mind is through the Word of God. And so you use the word of God to renew your mind. And as you do that, more and more and more, you know what God wants to do in any given situation. But it has to start with a surrendered will. And we renew our minds with the word of God. And all through the scripture, there's so many things where God makes it really clear what he wants. Did you know that all of the promises of God reveal a portion of the will of God? He makes those promises for a reason. He wants to do those things in our lives. It helps us to know what the will of God is. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. I want to tell you, he's promised us a whole lot, and none of it is in vain. These promises are for us. Now, I would be the first person to agree that there are a lot of people that misappropriate the promises of God. They're just playing with it. But they really are for us. The Bible calls them exceeding great and precious promises. They're so powerful. You want to know the will of God? Learn the promises of God. It will help you. But they're all through the scripture, and they're all for us. Some of them may seem like they're too good to be true, but I'll tell you, you see a lot of the time the will of God, it is really, really good. Let me give you just a couple of things here. Did you know that it's always his will for people to be saved? It is always his will. You say, well, why don't they? Because he gave them a free will. That's pretty simple. And because the enemy blinds the minds of unbelievers. But listen to this, 2 Peter 3:9. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to come to repentance. He's not willing that anybody should perish. And you need to remove all doubt from your mind. You need to renew your mind with this truth. God wants that person to be saved. Yes, he does. And so when you pray for them, you're praying with that knowledge. You're praying according to the will of God, that he wants that person to be saved. Well, then why do people go to hell? Because of the will of man and the work of Satan. Now, there are some who teach a doctrine of demons that before the world began, God picked out who could be saved, and only those people could be saved. And they just manipulate and twist the scripture and mark out a whole bunch of it. In fact, scripture's like this. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I just want you to understand, it is God's will for them to be saved. Praying for healing. How do you know? Listen, if you don't know if it's God's will, you leave that doubt, you got to know it's God's will. And here's where a lot of people are. They know that he can. They just don't know if he will. Matthew 8, 1 through 3. When he'd come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. That's where a lot of people are. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. One of my favorites, Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. We believe that. Amen. Who heals all our diseases. Whoa, wait a minute. Same God. I know there are people that are not healed. I've been sick this last week, y'all. I know all about it. And I know it can be a really complicated issue. But I also know there are so many promises throughout the Word of God. And I know what it looks like in heaven. So I do know this, in the perfect will of God, Yes. No, we're not living all in the perfect will of God. But I know this, in the perfect will of God. And I know this, that he said, I am the Lord who heals you. That's who he is. It is not just something he does. It is part of who he is, his person and his character. And when people say God doesn't do that, they're trying to change an unchanging God. He does not change. If you're going to pray with confidence for somebody that's sick, it's not going to be like, Lord, whatever. It's going to be, Father, we have your word that you are our healer, that by his stripes we were healed. And so, Father, we pray that in the name of Jesus, and we believe it with all our hearts because you said it, and your word is always good. See, we got to pray with that kind of confidence. I really believe that he heals. People that don't believe that he heals, or they believe that, well, maybe you know it's God's will for you to be sick, well, then don't pray for healing. Don't ask God to do something that you don't believe he wants to do. Well, that's just weird, isn't it? But see, we need to make up our minds. We believe the promises. I mean, if we really believe it, God wants us to be poor, don't ask him to bless you. I mean, if you don't think that God cares about your marriage, don't pray about it. But if we believe that it's God's will to bring victory in our lives, and we're standing on the promises of God, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you, there's so many promises that we need to know and realize that it is God's will to do these things in our life. And we can know the will of God through the Word of God. We can also know the will of God by asking for his help in prayer. And I'm not going to tell you this is quick and easy, but I am going to tell you that we should ask God to show us, to help us to know his will. Colossians 1:9, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, Paul was praying it for somebody else, and you know what? That's a good prayer to pray for other people. But why not pray it for ourselves when we don't know? Because he says that you'd be filled with the knowledge of his will. Wow. Ask God to help you. If we want to know his will, we need to spend time in prayer talking to the Lord. You know, I want to remind you, before Jesus picked the 12, think about this. The Son of God, God incarnate, God in the flesh. Before he picked the 12, he spent all night in prayer. And so we say, "Well, Lord, I got to make this decision. What's the answer? What's your will?" I didn't get nothing. Well, spend a night in prayer. Okay. Man, y'all are just loving this, aren't you? I'm telling you, this is what we need. We need more effective praying. And some of this stuff, no, it's not easy. It's not cheap and easy. But it's worth it. It's worth it to have an effective prayer life. Next, we can know the will of God because it's a reflection of his character. You see, his will shows us, or it's a reflection, his character shows us what his will is. Let me just put it this way. We sang about it tonight. He's good. That's what the Bible says. He's good. Over and over it says it. The Lord is good. Amen. His will is good. Yes. You may not understand it. It may seem like a hard road, but his will is good because he's a good God. Let me tell you something else. He is merciful. And his will is merciful. See, sometimes we're like, "But Lord, couldn't there have been an easier way?" We don't know all the ins and outs, but he does. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows the hearts of people and what all's involved. And he works it out, listen, in his love and mercy. You just need to understand that this is part of his will. This is who he is. It all lines up with his character. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Is it his will to provide? Yes. Now, there's a lot of things involved in that. I mean, I already mentioned people wanting to be increased, as the Bible says, so they could, you know, use it for their own selfish desires. Yeah, there's a lot of things involved in that. But he is our provider. He wants to provide for us. He's not your poverty. He's your provider. See, we need to know that his will, it is a reflection of his character. He delights in our well-being. He wants to do you good. Amen. He works everything together for our good. It's his nature to bless, not to destroy. He's our Savior, our Redeemer. He's the one that paid the price so that we could be reconciled with him. See, all through the Bible, it reveals the character and person of God, and that reveals so much of the will of God to us. You know, I was thinking about another way that we have a glimpse of the character and the person of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said in John 14 and verse 9, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you see the things that Jesus went around doing, healing people, setting people free, forgiving people. He's so kind and gentle and gracious, helping people. That's the way our Father is. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you see so much of what Jesus was doing. See, it revealed the will of God in those situations. But we just need to understand this. The more that we know him personally, the more that we will know his will. I've been with this little girl for over 40 years, 42 in 2 weeks. And I know her. I know what she likes and doesn't like. I know what she wants. Because I spent a lot of time with her. And I'm just telling you, you see, this is why this isn't a quick fix. You're not going to get this all tonight. I sure haven't. You see, as we walk with him and we learn and we grow and we know him more and more, we get to where we know what his will is in any given situation because we know him. We know what he wants to do. We know what our Father's like. So I'm going to answer this question. I answer it frequently in these messages, but I want to do it again tonight. So why do we have to ask him? Why did he just do what he wants? He wants a real relationship with us. He wants us to rely upon him, to look to him, to trust him. He won't force his way into our lives. He won't do it. He wants us to invite him into our lives. He wants us to ask for his intervention into our lives. He wants us to ask for his help. You see, he wants that kind of a relationship with us where we know who he is and what he's like, that we're praying for his will because we know that it's good. And you see, he wants to know each and every one of us intimately. Now, he knows us, Mr. Estelle, what I'm saying, but he wants that intimate relationship with us. He wants us to know him as our shepherd and our guide, as our fortress and our defender and our avenger. He wants us to know him as our friend who is there, that's closer than a brother, the one who's always with. He wants us to know him that way. You see, and the more that we know him, the more we're going to know his will. But he wants us to know him as our righteousness and our Redeemer, as our peace. He wants us to know him as our Father that is there, that knows already about our every need, and yet he waits for us to ask. He wants us to know him. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'm going to let you be dismissed.